Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. I'm glad to be continuing with you as we continue together in our study of Amos. It's great to dig into this minor prophet, this smaller word of a prophet. A few more chapters left. Amos is a longer one of the minor prophets. Most of them are just a couple of chapters, but Amos goes on for 9 chapters. So that's still shorter than the smallest of the major prophets, but it's a fairly long minor prophet. Today we're going to be reading Amos 5, 1 through 17. And just a reminder, a minor prophet is not more insignificant than a major prophet. It's just literally a reflection of how long it is. The major prophets are longer books. The minor prophets are shorter books. So Amos is one of the longer of the minor prophets. He is still, though, shorter than the shortest of the major prophets. Be reading Amos 5, 1 through 17 today. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen, no more to rise, is the maiden Israel, forsaken on her land, with no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that marched out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which marched out 100 shall have 10 left. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal, do not cross over into Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, and he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and will devour Bethel, with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground, the one who made the Pleiades and the Orion and turning deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out the surface of the earth. The Lord is the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash among out against the strong for the destruction that comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who reproves in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take them from levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, who push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. See good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. May it be the Lord's, the God of hosts. May it be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious with the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord. In the squares there shall be wailing, and in the streets that all shall say, alas, alas. They shall call the farmers to mourning, and those skilled in lamentation to wailing. And all the vineyards there shall be wailing. For I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. This is, I love, maybe not the right word, but verses 8 and 9 to me are so interesting, are just powerful. The one who made the Pleiades and the Orion and turns the darkness into morning and darkens the day into night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. I always love in scripture when the writers evoke creation to say, the one who did these things, the one who created the Orion, the one who calls, darkens the day into night and turns the deep darkness into morning. Isn't that poetic? Isn't that beautiful? I love that description. This is called a lament. It says, hear the word that I take over you in lamentation. Fallen, no more to rise, the maiden Israel, forsaken on her land, with no one to raise her up. Lamentations is a powerful concept. We see it in an entire book of the Bible, the book of Lamentations, in after the prophet Jeremiah. It's a powerful concept in the midst of great tragedy, great loss. Sometimes the only thing that we can do in the midst of these things is to lament. Lament what has been taken. Lament what we have no more. Lament the pain, to just give voice to our hurt. And I think that's powerful. We live in a culture, in a society, in a world that likes to hide our pain sometimes. to not give voice to the hurt we experience. We want to be tough, don't we? But the Bible is full of lamentations. Now, like I said, there's an entire book of the Bible devoted to it, where we lament and name our brokenness, our sadness, our hurt, our loss. Fallen, no more to rise, is maiden Israel, forsaken on her land, with no one to raise her up. There's times when our brokenness is so deep, and our hurt is so deep, and our tragedy is so deep, that all we can do is just sit and say, we are fallen, we are broken, we are at loss. And the Lord is saying that because of your sin, because of what we see in verses 10, they hate the one who reproves the gate. They abhor the one who speaks truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, take from them levies of grain, you build houses of hewn stone. That's shaped stone. That's the Bible's full of these little things about pride and humility. All their altars are unhewed stone. In other words, stone has not been carved in a fancy way. Hewed stone, that in the Bible, that's a sign of great pride. Great pride. So you built a house of hewn stone. You should not live in them. Then it says, verse 12, for I know how many are your transgressions, how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, who push aside the needy in the gate. You're treating the poor. Do you see this theme we see in Amos a lot to other prophets? How we treat the poor, how we take care of these in need. This is a big deal, a huge deal in the prophets. How do we take care of the needy? And so, yes, there is always a component of idolatry. And the idolatry leads to this abuse of the poor and the needy. True faith grounded in the God of Scripture is going to be a faith that leads us especially to look after the poor, to those who are weak and needy. I know how you afflict the righteous, you take a bribe, you push aside the needy. So we see that because of this, because of what we see in verses 10, 12, 13, and following, that there will be judgment coming and that Israel will fall. However, even in lamentations, even in lament over sin, what do we see? We see it several times in here. Verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord of hosts be with you. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. In other words, treat people with righteousness. And it may be the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to you. So we see even in the midst of this lament over the effect of sin and brokenness, even in this, verse 4, seek me and live. Even in the bleakest moment of lament over sin, even with the Lord's rebuke, it says, verse 10 says, they hate the one who reproves and they hate the one who corrects. We talked about that yesterday. Even in the midst of this, we see, if you will seek good, the Lord be with you. If you will hate evil and love good, the Lord of hosts will be gracious to you. Golly, all grace abounds. Grace always abounds. One of the things the Lord has been dealing with me with is that for so much of my life and so much of my faith journey, I've turned to God as though he hates me. You know, as if I'm a huge disappointment to him. And that's how I feel a lot of the time. But the Lord's been reminding me recently that when the Lord looks at me, he doesn't look at me with disappointment or hate. Rather, he looks at me with love. He looks at me with love. When the Lord looks at you, he does not look at you with disappointment or hate. But he's saying, if you will turn to me even now, even now, in this lament over sin, there's grace. There's mercy. Amos and so many of the prophets are all about that. Lament and grace. That's what we see in this passage today. Lament over sin, brokenness over sin. But even in that brokenness and that pain, grace is there. and grace abounds. So today, let's lament and let's confess where we are broken and where we need God. But let's know that when we do confess, when we turn, grace is there. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Tomorrow, we're going to pick up with verse 18 of chapter 5. So a few more chapters, and then we'll be done with Amos. So I hope you're enjoying this. I know that I am. Have a great rest of your day. See you in the morning.